You're listening to Idaho Matters on a Monday. I'm George Prentiss in for Gemma Gaudet. This month, the city of Boise is asking us to take action and join the Plastics Challenge. The challenge to give up one disposable plastic item. Straws, plastic bags, or the big one, the non-reusable water bottle. July is coming to an end, but the discussion over single-use plastics is just getting started. And the Zero Waste Boise Institute is excited to keep talking trash as well, or rather ways to keep plastics out of our trash. Joining us live in studio is sustainability advocate and zero waste enthusiast Jillian Eichelhoff and Haley Falconer, who's with the City of Boise. Hi.
Hello.
Hi, George.
Jillian, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you today,
I'm okay.
George?
Correct me if I'm wrong. It's my understanding that your nonprofit has a Dr. Seuss connection.
We do, and people ask me how I got into this work, and the answer is I've always had zero waste leanings, worked on a number of sustainability initiatives over the years, but the real impetus for the Zero Waste Boise Institute came when I read The Lorax to my son when he was a preschooler. And based on his reaction, which was, "Mommy, we've got to go around the neighborhood and tell people to stop chopping down trees to make stuff," based on his keen grasp of the issue, I decided that it was time for me to do something because he's going to be on the planet a lot longer than I am.
What's his first name?
Jonah.
And how old is he now?
Jonah is going into the fifth grade.
So Jonah gets a good amount of credit here.
He does. I was amazed at his response and how thoughtful and intentional he was about needing to do something about this issue.
Wonderful. Haley, it seems as if it was yesterday, but it's been almost 2 years since China announced that it would no longer be accepting so much of our plastics, which many people didn't realize were going to China. And that triggered all kinds of panic and reactions. I think it's fair to say that the city of Boise has distinguished itself where a lot of cities have not, and the decision to do something about plastics and recycling. And, of course, folks know about the orange bags by now.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And we tend to agree that Jillian and I were talking about that crisis that hit and really needing a reaction to that. And here we are 2 years later, and we have hundreds of tons of otherwise non-recyclable plastics that have been diverted from the landfill and will be recovered into something else.
And how do you measure success? By participation?
Participation is part of it. I think it's also really important that it's the quality of the materials and then the amount. 300 plus tons of lightweight plastics is a lot of material.
Because I remember talking to you very early on because the education is maybe the hardest part.
It is.
How's it going?
Really quite well. We changed things up here for the second year and sent out vouchers with continued education. But I think the Plastics Challenge and the creation of a Curb It Pros group or team of ambassadors in the community who want to know more have really been two of our greatest successes, getting away from the conversation about recycling and really empowering folks, citizens, to know and think about where things are coming from. Where are these materials coming from that we have to then manage on the other end?
And again, you mentioned the vouchers, and what that means is taking the vouchers to a retailer and then getting the bags from the retailer, from the shelf.
That's correct.
Can you give us an update on how that program is going? There was a pause in some of that repurposing, yes?
Yeah, Boise was the first city at this scale to implement the energy bag program, so on a citywide scale and with all of the materials that we collect. So in addition to the rigid plastics or things like sour cream and yogurt, we collect all of the traditionally non-recyclable things like films, plastic bags, squeezy food pouches. And that was a change in operation for a lot of these places that accept these low-value plastics. So they're, you know, they've accepted our materials. We're collecting quite a bit, and they're requiring some equipment upgrades to be able to handle all of those films and plastic bags. But overall, really going well. They'll take a few months to get up kind of to the full-scale implementation that's required, not just for our program, but for the growth that the energy bag program is seeing.
And a number of sister cities, neighboring cities, I should say, have also joined in a bit, yes?
Yes. So Meridian, Eagle, Garden City, and Star are all participants, and I understand that unincorporated Ada County will also have an opportunity to participate come this fall. So we're definitely, that was really the vision, is that if the city of Boise could take this on, how could it be kind of an easy next step for other communities to join?
Excellent. Jillian, the Zero Waste Boise Institute, I want to make sure I get this right, is focused on preventing trash at its source. What does that mean?
When you look at zero waste, there's really two sides to the story. There's the after story and the before story. And the after story, of course, is what happens when we discard the items, all the stuff we've brought into our lives. And as a society, we've noticed the after story. We don't manage our waste perfectly. There's a lot of room to grow, but it is something that we pay attention to. Our concern is we don't pay enough attention to the before story, which is all of the materials that we bring into our life in the first place came at a cost. That cost is often hidden to the consumer. Every shiny new item you pull from the store shelf represents a natural resource that was taken, water and energy invested, pollutants emitted in the manufacturing process. And so we're really here to advance the principles of reduce and reuse before we even get to the recycling conversation, because it's all about the impact of what we're choosing to acquire on a day-to-day basis.
A conversation with the actual retailer themselves or the consumer, or I'm assuming all of the above,
but it
has to
everybody.
Include the retailer, yes?
It has to. We operate really at the consumer level. We offer educational outreach to reach the consumer because that's where our expertise is. We're all consumers ourselves, and also because we believe the consumer is the most powerful person in the world. We have a saying that the hand that steers the shopping cart can change the world, because the consumers create the demand for the materials and the merchandise that are offered by the retailer. And the retailer, of course, is telling the manufacturer what's selling. And so if we can create the appetite and the demand within the consumer to seek more sustainable products and to reduce and reuse over buying new materials that came at this environmental cost, that consumer is really, in my opinion, the only one that can begin to make this change.
Excellent. We're speaking with the founder of the Zero Waste Boise Institute. That is Jillian Eichelhoff and Haley Falconer with the City of Boise. We'd love to hear from you on this. You can communicate with us via email at idahomatters@boisestate.edu. On Twitter, use the hashtag IdahoMatters. Haley, where is the city? My guess is at any given time, you've got a pretty lengthy wish list, or your whiteboard is filled with initiatives, yes?
Yes, absolutely.
What's the next big thing?
I think really it's exactly what Jillian talked about. It's shifting our perspective away from how we manage the trash or recycling or composting at the curb, and really how do we get kind of higher level on that pyramid of refuse and then reduce and reuse, and what is our role as a city in that conversation? Empowering consumer voice, but also getting to some of our retailers. And the Plastics Challenge has given us a really interesting insight and nuggets from restaurants and other places who are making changes and wanting to share that.
So give me an example.
So we got an email from Capital Cellars, a restaurant downtown, who has shifted out some of their cutlery from plastic cutlery to reusable cutlery, I think in some of their catering operations. But to hear that is really powerful. There's a coffee shop downtown that I was asking about cold drink cups. Typically, those are often plastic, and those are non-recyclable and non-energy baggable plastics. And they provided mason jars for you to drink a cold coffee, an iced coffee, in their restaurant.
And so I've heard of really cool. A group of coffee shops getting together where you can purchase a to-go mug, if you will, and yet use it and take it home, take it with you, and then clean it or drop it off at another coffee shop, right?
There was an initiative led by a student at Winstone High School that got that conversation started, and there were a number of local coffee shops getting on board with that. So the conversation has to come from all directions, and it's really exciting to see where it's going in Boise.
I've seen that for reusable takeout ware, where it's a subscription program and restaurants buy in, and so I haven't seen that here, so that's great to hear. But something in some ways really transforming the marketplace, and we can do that as consumers.
And let's talk a little bit more about the retail experience. You work with the co-op, yes, as far as particular events
yes.
to kind of help us as shoppers?
We had an opportunity to collaborate with the co-op recently to lead zero-waste grocery shopping tours. Mm-hmm. And I have to pause and say that zero waste is not an absolute, because otherwise that makes it sound very intimidating and hard to achieve. We're looking for achievable incremental change. And a good place to start is the grocery store, because about a third of our waste stream in the U.S. is packaging and container waste. And guess where most of that comes from? It's the grocery store, and in fact, most of what you can put in your blue cart for curbside residential recycling comes from the grocery store as well. So we lead consumers through, and we go through this process of three steps. First, how can you exit that grocery store with the least amount of packaging possible? If you have to buy your food in packaging, to provide consumers with the skills to assess what's the most sustainable packaging possible, salsa comes in a number one plastic tub, a number five plastic tub, a glass jar, or you can make it yourself. And so we try to train the brain around making the most sustainable choice. And then the third element, where the city actually worked very closely with us as well, is if you're going to come home with packaging material, how can you recycle it effectively to have maximum capture and the least amount of contamination?
The secret here, I think I'm learning this, it's kids. They get it.
They do, and we're working on a curriculum, actually, to work with students to increase their understanding of zero-waste principles, actually aligned with STEM, you know, science standards, but also so that they can be parents for teachers for their parents, so that they can bring that learning home into their household, because, again, they're going to be on the earth a little bit longer than the rest of us, and so they're reaping what we have sowed.
And they're a heck of a lot easier to train. I have a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they know what goes in the orange bag, what's composted. They have reusable kind of zipper closed bags that they prefer, because some of them have really cute characters on them, and that's way better than a throwaway Ziploc bag that would otherwise go in the orange bag or the trash. And so they're easy to mold, the little ones.
And a tangible exercise. And every parent that I talked to said, well, the kids are into it, so we let them have at it.
Totally.
And we follow them. Are there any numbers you could share with us as far as single-use plastics?
Ooh, off the top of my head, you might have.
Yes, absolutely. And so what we're learning about single-use plastics is they are permanent, mm-hmm. pestilent, and pervasive. And so in terms of being pervasive, the average American will discard 185 pounds of plastic in any given year. And when you think about plastic not being a very dense or heavy material, it takes a lot of plastic to add up to 185 pounds. And then the question is, where does that go? So a very small percentage is recycled. The recycling rate for plastics in the U.S. is a paltry 9%. So, of course, some balance of that is going to go to the landfill. 20% of our landfills across the country, that's one-fifth of the material in those landfills, is comprised of plastic, a lot of which could have been recycled. And then the really scary thing is what happens to the plastic that goes rogue, the uncaptured plastic. At least 10% of the plastic we're using every year ends up in the oceans. And it's creating a lot of damage that a lot of us are not aware of. It's not just that the sea life is ingesting the plastic. It's creating what I've heard referred to as a microplastic chowder that's present on about 88% of the ocean's surface. And what happens is it chokes out the photosynthetic processes of the marine plants. And what I didn't know, George, until recently, is that 70% of our global oxygen supply, and this is according to National Geographic, is actually generated in the ocean. So very, very dire consequences when that plastic gets loose.
Well, if we do this right, Haley, correct me if I'm wrong, we'll have less trash to get picked up, right? And the trucks will come less often. Right?
That is really the ultimate goal. And we're hearing that call from citizens for more frequent service on other things and less frequent trash service. But we really want to see how can we divert as many materials from the landfill to really preserve that space. The landfill is not a forever endeavor, a place for us to send our trash. We want to preserve that space as long as we can and really reduce those numbers as much as we can on what's leaving not just the curb, but we as consumers are responsible also for the stores where we shop and the trash and the waste that is produced there, that, you know, from the products that we are consuming. There's a huge amount there that we really do want to reduce that, but the not lose sight of the incremental change and gains from our individual actions.
And let's talk about the landfill in the context of the explosive growth in the Treasure Valley. So the landfill was designed, the current cell was designed in the 1990s to last for about 100 years. You can imagine with the unexpected growth in Boise, I can only guess that it's filling much more rapidly than it was designed to. And so that's a landfill that sits on 2,700 acres. And within the next few decades, we're going to have to talk about either a colossal solution to our waste problem or identifying a site for another landfill. And if you can imagine trying to find a 2,700-acre parcel at today's real estate prices, and it's not the best use of our scenic Boise foothills. And so it's in all of our best interest just to slow the fill rate of the landfill, to reduce that as much as possible, to buy us some more time.
The power of social media can't be denied. And so the Plastics Challenge, I'm assuming you say, is a success.
Absolutely.
And do you have something cooking?
Cooking to follow this?
Yeah.
Yeah,
something
I think.
Gimmicky?
Well, I don't know about that.
Okay. Well, it seemed to have worked.
It is. I think our community was ready for something they could sink their teeth into. The energy bag was a solution to a crisis and has been very good. Mm-hmm. But this is, we want to do more and we're ready for that. And we had over 900 people so far that have signed up to take the challenge. But we know the conversation is happening in circles around the community. And just those interesting nuggets of someone that shared, I add my grocery bags to my shopping list now so that I remember to take them to the grocery store. That's something we can all learn from and make a practice of.
Excellent. That's Haley Falconer with the City of Boise and Jillian Eichelhoff with the Zero Waste Boise Initiative. Thank you so very, very much. Up next, Les Miserables is coming to the Morrison Center, a conversation with one of the lead actors. This is Idaho Matters on a Monday.